out of his hand. And they repeatedly, again and again, Matthew says, they repeatedly hit him on the head with that rod and with that staff. They repeatedly hit him. And they beat him up with it. But let's make no mistake about something, though. What they're saying was true. Unlike the Sanhedrin who told lies, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, told the truth. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is majestic. He is supreme. He is God of all gods. And he deserves to be worshipped. And he was convicted. Understand this today. His conviction by the Roman guards and by the centurions was based on truth, not on lies. Because he is the king. He is the king of the Jews. He's the king of the Gentiles, we learn. He's the king of the circumcised and the uncircumcised. He's the king of male and female. He's the king of all who will believe. He was convicted by truth. By truth. They made him out to be a king. They put a robe on him. The robe was a symbol of, it was a crimson robe, we're told. That robe was a symbol of kingship. Only a king could wear that red or that purple robe. They put a crown of thorns, of course. They put a crown on his head that was a symbol of kingship. It was a symbol of glory. That's what that crown denotes. It's the glory of the king for all to see. And they put a staff in his hand. By the way, who would do that? If you're guarding someone who's a prisoner, who would put a solid stick in his hand? Because I've seen a lot of movies. And I know what happens when that guy gets that final chance. Hey, you know, the handcuffs are off. Whoa, boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? I know. Okay, I didn't say I acted in a lot of movies. The point, who would give him a rod? Who would put that staff in his hand? But they put the staff in his hand, and that staff denotes or it symbolized authority. It was the authority of the king. It was the power that the king had in his hands. And they treated him in a mock fashion as a king. They faked worship. They made a big joke of this. It was a farce. But it was still true. He's still exactly who they said he was. King Jesus. He's still the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is still the master of all, supreme in everything and sovereign in all that he does. This is my Jesus. And even though they did it with all the intent of just being mean-spirited and just bringing more agony and more pain to Jesus, it was still the truth. What they indicted him with was the truth. And we're reminded, at least I am, I'm reminded when I see that crown of thorns on his head, I'm reminded of what God said back to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 when he said, you're gonna toil now in the ground, and all that's going to come up out of that ground is going to be thistles and thorns. I'm reminded of that when Jesus wore those thorns on the cross. And I'm reminded of the crimson robe when Jesus is, and they're mocking him with that robe over his shoulders. I'm reminded what Isaiah said. When Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. I'm reminded of that robe of righteousness that covers me now. And the blood of Jesus that has poured out and has inexplicably described me and proclaimed me to be righteous because of his righteousness. And when I see the rod or that staff that he carried, I'm reminded of something else. I'm reminded that when they put that stick in Jesus' hand, I'm reminded of a good shepherd who came. Jesus came to seek and he came to save the lost. I'm reminded of the good shepherd of Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, you know. And that his rod and his staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. And that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I can't help but wonder whether Jesus, while he was being mocked and while they were beating him with that same rod, whether that thought didn't cross his mind as well, that he's being comforted by his father, that it's a symbol of comfort, and that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Father forever. Isn't that good? So hear this today, and I didn't want to be too long. I have a hard time not being too long. Sorry about that. Hear this today, that there were a bunch of trumped up charges. We know that. There were a lot of lies and liars. There were people who were paid off to try to say all kinds of bad things and wrong things and deceptive things and deceitful things about Jesus. But there were also those who told the truth, even though they didn't know it. And that Jesus was convicted, he was indicted by the very words that were true words. And here's where we end here today. And I want to make this really clear to you, and that is that you are going to be indicted by the same truth. And so am I. Yeah. There's going to be a time when we stand before this very same Jesus. There's going to be a day when we are going to have to give account. There's going to be a day when we stand before him and we will be judged according to how we live and what we believed. But I want you to know this today. You are not going to be judged by lies, so you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry that God's going to embellish what you did or that he's going to bring in some false witnesses and say, well, let me tell you about Barb. She did this and she did that and she did. You don't even believe all the things that she did and none of those things are true. You don't need to worry about this. That's not going to happen, okay? It isn't going to happen. It's not going to be about lies. It's not going to be about false evidence. It's going to be about the truth. Listen to these words from Romans. Just hear this today. Anyone know where Romans is? Here we go. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life. This is Romans 14, if you want to read it this afternoon. For this very reason, verse 9, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, and here's where we get to the you then, and that's where we're at in the sermon right now. You then, here's where it relates to you and me. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Let me say that again. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. I'll say that again, too. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. I just want to tell you this morning, that when you stand before Christ, who will be seated on that throne, when you and I stand before him and give an account, all that will be said about us and the way we live will be true. It will be completely true. When they talk about our lies or our pride or our adultery, when it's brought up about our unfaithfulness or our anger, the murder or the jealousy, when that's brought up, it will be absolutely and entirely true. It will be what we did. But now here's the good news. That Jesus will say to you, and he'll say to me, and he'll say to Tim, and he'll say to Karen, he'll say, but you believed in me. You received me in your heart. You asked me to be your Savior, and you are washed clean. You are washed in my blood. You are washed. You are righteous. You are holy. You are saved, and you will gain an eternal life forever and ever. Amen. 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 The truth will convict us. We'll stand before him and go, yeah, I was. I was an adulterer. I was a liar. I lost my temper. I was full of pride many times. You'll be nodding our heads. Yes, I am guilty. And he will say, no, you're not. Because I take the shame and I take the guilt away. And that's good news. Let's pray. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that, oh, that's why we come to the cross. That's why we want to gather together, because we know that we could never stand before you apart from your grace. We could never stand on our own two feet. We could never stand because we're such good people. We need you, and we need your grace. So today, remind us that you have made us. You have imputed your righteousness into us so that you see us as holy and living sacrifices, pleasing to God. Amazing. What amazing love that is, that we are pleasing to you. As we come to your table today, God, I just pray that we'll remember this, that we'll celebrate this, that we will give you glory because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And all the people said, amen, amen. In a moment, I just ask you to come and receive the bread and take from the cup. Isn't it cool to think that the disciples did this and that every Christian in the early church did this? That, in fact, they daily broke bread and they reminded each other. They said, this is it. This is Jesus' body, and we're going to eat it. We're going to not eat it, but we're going to eat and remember it. We're going to remember that he gave his life so that we could have life. And that, like Jesus said, this is the cup. This is the cup of suffering. We remember as we drink the excruciating pain, the mockery, the flogging. We remember that his disciples ran away. One of them hung himself. We remember that he was alone, completely and entirely alone. And he bore our sin entirely on him. Thank you, Jesus. Unlike the way we often do Lord's Supper, where we wait for one another, today this is going to be more personal. You take it when you get it, and just have a time of prayer and worship. And as I read some of the scripture relating to the cross, I invite you to share the supper with each other. And early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him and they led him away. They handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Jesus had betrayed him, Jesus, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was with more than 30 priests and the elders. Sinned, Judas said, and I have betrayed innocent blood. Well, what is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas took money into the temple and left, and he went away. The chief priests picked up the coins and they said, it's against the law, since it's blood money. And so they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. And that is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's fields as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony that they're bringing against you? Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" He knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. And while Pilate was in the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. He suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask us, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" The governor said, "Barabbas," they answered. "Well, what do you do then with Jesus, who is called?" And they all, "Crucify him." "Well, why? What crime has shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "This is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "Let his be on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged, and he handed him over to be. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. He said, "Now let's leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud spirit, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And they came to the tombs. After his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Zebedee's son. Amen. Means so much. You take care. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I already got some. I can tell. I'm here. I love you. I fall apart. You're the one. God, it's my heart. Are you tasting of the goodness of God? He says, "Taste and see that I am good." Remember that he gave his life for you. What a savior. I love that great old hymn. Hallelujah. What a savior. Just take time. No one needs to rush. Just take time, worship him.
We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to give some praise reports, just things that are on our hearts, just shouting praise and thanking Him and lifting up our gratitude.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Let's sing, Lord, I come.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guards my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, it is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Just cry that out. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Where sin runs deep,
your grace is more. Where grace is found, it's where you are. Where you are, Lord, I want to see. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Amen. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take Just a couple minutes to say thank you to God. So how do we thank him now? What are you thankful for? The cross. The blood. Yeah. Thank God he forgave Annie. For the hope, the hope, the hope, Al says. Amen? Yeah, there's hope in Jesus. We talked about that on Tuesday at the kitchen, that, you know, there's so many people there don't have hope. If you don't have hope, you just live your life, whichever, because you know you're going to just die and there's no way out of it. But we know there's a better way. There is a way out, and that way is Jesus.
Amen.
What else? How do you thank God? Thank him now. For being alive and all the other things I didn't hear. Yeah, Christina. For healing power. Amen. And his unfailing love. Hallelujah. His grace. Amen. For his amazing grace for wretched sinners like me. Yeah, Daniel. Yeah. Thank you, God, that we belong to you and to each other. Yeah. Amen. For snow and gravity, for those snowboarders. And the red on their faces just shows you they're embarrassed about it all. Thank you, God, for your world, though. Thank you for the creation, for the created order, for the majesty of everything you've made, and the wonders that prove how great you are. Andy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's the second sermon today. There you go. Thank you, Andy. The six miracles of the cross. Yeah, Jeanette. Yeah. Yeah. This is personal. I like what you're saying. This is personal. We ought to take it personally because it has to do with me and my Lord. Ted.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Word of God. Jody. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, God, for the beautiful Holy Spirit, for the comforter, the teacher, the one who stands beside us, the one who lives in us, the one who empowers his church to do what we're supposed to be doing. We say thank you, God. You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and power and authority both now and forevermore. Amen. Rob? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Amen to that? Maybe that's the best of all, his love. Yeah, Vicky. For new life. Yeah. Come on Sunday, you'll hear more about that. Receive God's blessing, and we're going to sing again and just go in fellowship. There's going to be, I think, some cookies and stuff, but this is how God blesses us. He says, I bless you and I keep you, and I will cause my face to shine upon you, and I will lift up my countenance upon you, and I will give you my peace.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Cry out to him, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I
need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Oh, I need you, oh, I need you.
Smiling here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guards my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Say that out loud?
You did.
Man.